welcome back. Today we're going to do something a little bit more lighthearted and fun. It's our cryptids, part two.
Yeah, we haven't done a cryptid since our very first.
We'll do a selfless plug here. We do have a plushie store
on Etsy
where we actually make a lot of these handmade, one-of-a-kind plushies. Mothman is very popular. We also have Flatwood Monster plushies.
Mm-hmm.
But today is going to have a little bit of an Appalachian theme. We're going to do some of the cryptids from West Virginia.
Where I grew up.
Right. So I figured we got some real life testimony here. But also the big man, the Mothman.
He'll be our last one on this one.
Yeah, we got three lined up for you. I think they're all intriguing. They're all fun. And it's, you know, definitely you can attest to some of these. There's very good descriptions, and there's also very good accounts of people having experience with these mystical beasts or whatever.
So. And two of these we actually have on our plushie store.
Exactly. Flatwoods and Mothman.
And the plushie store is Fairy Tavern.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. It's on vacation right now, but I'll be bringing it back up by next week, I think.
So the first one we're going to start with is the Tommyknocker. Yes, there was a movie from Stephen King, The Tommyknockers, but...
Is that the same thing, or is that something completely different?
It's different. So, the knacker, or they call it the Tommyknocker here in the U.S., is a mythical human-like creature. It's also seen in Welsh, Cornish, and Devon folklore.
They're a fairy.
It is closely related to the Irish leprechaun, or Kentish cloaker. Scottish brownie is also... So it seems like in every sort of culture they have something like this. The Cornish describe the creature as a little person 2 feet tall with a disproportionately large head, long arms, wrinkled skin, and white whiskers. It wears a tiny version of standard miner's garb and commits random mischief. Such as stealing miners' unattended tools and food. In the United States, in the 1820s, immigrant Welsh and Cornish miners brought tales of the Tommyknockers and their theft of unwatched items and warning knocks to western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, their name comes from the knocking on the mine walls, and this usually happens just before cave-ins. Actually, the creaking of the earth and timbers before giving way. To some miners, knockers were malevolent spirits, and the knocking was the sound of them hammering at walls and supports to cause the cave-ins.
Oh, okay.
To others who saw them as essentially well-meaning practical jokers, the knocking was their way of actually warning miners that a cave-in was getting ready to happen.
You know, you see that a lot with cryptids, too, where, you know, they're not so much attacking people as much as they are warning people. Belief in the knockers in America remained well into the 20th century. When one large mine closed in 1956, the owners sealed the entrance. Fourth, fifth, and sixth generation cousin Jax circulated a petition calling the mine owners to set the knockers free so they could move on to their other mines. The owners complied. Belief among the Nevadan miners persisted amongst its miners as late as into the 1930s. So they really believed in this.
Yeah.
But it does come from the Cornish.
Yes, it comes from Cornish folklore.
And that, you know, with that Cornish folklore, it comes from literally knocking on the mines.
Yeah, it says.
Actually, the creaking of the earth and timbers before giving way.
Yeah.
To some miners, the knockers were malevolent. The knocking was the sound of them hammering at the walls to support and cause those cave-ins, like you had said.
Right.
So it seems like...
So some people believe they are... Some... It's kind of split down the middle. Some say that they caused the cave-in. Some say it was the warning that the cave-in was getting ready to happen. But with all fae, you know, they're very practical joke. Like you said, they like to steal tools, and some would steal, you know, like the lunches from their pails.
The Cornish believe that these were little men. They were the souls of the Jews who crucified Christ and were sent by the Romans to work as slaves in the tin mines. This belief was so strong that the Tommyknockers were allegedly never heard on Saturdays, nor at times of Jewish festivals. They were described as 2 feet tall and often described in greenish or grayish in color. They look like little men and are most often spied wearing in traditional miners' outfits. So they look like little miner leprechauns.
Yeah.
They live beneath the ground. They have been known to have committed both good and bad deeds through the centuries, often playing practical jokes and committing random acts of mischief, such as stealing unattended tools and food. When the California Gold Rush began, these experienced Cornish miners were welcomed and often sought after by the mine owners. Attempting to recruit more miners, managers often approached the immigrants, asking if they had any relatives back in England who might want to come work in the mines. "Well, my cousin Jack over there in Cornwall will come ye pay as a boat ride." Soon, the many immigrant miners took on the nickname Cousin Jacks, who formed the core Americans' Eastern Western Mine Force. As such, the superstition of the Tommyknockers thrived and spread amongst the miners, and that is how we have them in America.
Well, they are, the ones in West Virginia are located in Salem, West Virginia, which is in Harrison County. It says that there's something in the dark depths of the Brandy Gap Tunnel number 2 near Salem, West Virginia. There they seem to thrive in the dank darkness. They flourish in a mixture of slimy sludge dripping from the rotting wood of the caskets and long dead bodies from the cemetery that's located above them. Tommyknockers, like you've said, are a mischievous lot. They are a bit of a wild card when it comes to interacting with humans.
So you don't know what you're going to get.
Exactly. It depends on their mood, whether they taunt those within their lair or save them from some catastrophe. So you're just, they're going to taunt you or they're going to save you. It just
depends
on their mood.
They're like little mischievous little gnomes.
And then there's actually a railroad path that disrupts their den. It was once part of the Northwestern Virginia Railroad, which was connected the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad and served as a connection between Grafton and Parkersburg. Parkersburg, I've been to. Grafton, I haven't. Now the railroad tracks are long gone, and it's just...
There's actually a Grafton Monster, too, in West Virginia.
Yeah. We'll probably do that one, too. The tracks are gone, just like the miners who brought a Tommyknocker or two there when they dug through the hill to clear way for the railway.
It seems like this started as a cute superstition, but it was also a way to describe when mines cave in. But also, I mean, you're in a mine, it's dark, you're hearing all these noises, and it probably really is just the earth settling and the wood settling. It was a way to describe.
Yeah. Well, and here's another one. It says some believe that the eerie voices, sobbing, and chatter heard within the tunnel is attributed to the ghastly remains of those buried at the Enon Baptist Church Cemetery that's close to where they're at Salem, where they're hearing these, or it's a ghost of a miner. It says when the railway was being worked on from 1852 to 1857, workers reported strange lights and odd sounds inside the tunnel. They also heard the knock, knock, knock of the Tommyknockers. Although these pesky little characters played pranks on the miners and the tunnel builders, they worked, like we've said, stealing their lunches right out of their pails and tossing pebbles at them. Which, you know, that could just be pebbles falling from when you're working.
Right.
They also warned them of, like we've said, falling rocks.
And you got some motherfucker stealing somebody's lunches.
Exactly.
It happens today, and I guarantee that there are Tommyknockers where I work.
And like you said, apparently Saturdays, they took the day off.
Yeah. Which is the true Sabbath, if you...
Right. But it says back when the mine workers were building the tunnel, there was a certain amount of superstition involved with digging so close to the small cemetery, settled into the hillside above. But Sundays were the worst. Legends say Tommy knockers are known to take that specific day off. Therefore, the men were probably already jumpy one cold Saturday on January 15th of 1853. There were no Tommy knockers on duty to give them a rock fall heads up. Their fears were warranted because a man died by a fall of a rock on that day. The Cooper's Clarksburg Register wrote this. Killed, a man named Hanley was killed by the Brandy Gap Tunnel on the last Saturday by a quantity of earth falling on him. He was taken to Fairmont on Monday for intermediate. Two other men were seriously injured.
Maybe they just made it up too to say, hey, we got to take Saturday and Sunday off.
Right.
Because the Tommyknockers ain't working. We need them. They're important.
So, it is safe to say the miners heard knock-knock warnings of Tommyknockers' knuckles to a wall after that because no others were known to be killed by falling rock at a tunnel while being built either on the weekdays or on Saturdays. So I guess after that, the Tommyknockers decided, hey, we'll go ahead and check in on them on Saturdays. But the tunnel is actually still there. You can walk through it to see if you actually hear something.
You know, it's interesting. They kind of fall in that category of fairies, gnomes, leprechauns, things like that. I mean, who's to say? You know, who's to say it's not real? I'm sure they heard something. And it would be scary if, you know, if you're in that darkness and no sound and stuff like that. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
And that's what you're going to hear. You know, and it could just be, too, that they're in a place with low oxygen and, you know, they're hallucinating.
Well, yeah, I mean, that happened, yeah.
I mean, who's to know?
But isn't that why they took canaries in there? Because if the canary died, there wasn't enough oxygen.
Yeah.
If the canary stopped singing, get out.
Yep. I mean, and true, when you're mining like that, you can hit pockets of gas. You can hit all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's
and the lights they were seeing that could have been other miners with, because they would have, like, the lanterns, which wasn't safe because if you've got a candle down there, you hit a pocket of gas, kaboom.
Right. Yeah, I think it's an interesting story. I like the folklore behind it. I really like the cryptid stuff. I believe in interdimensional beings, and I think that a lot of cryptids are interdimensional, but also, I think we make some up to explain things that we can't understand
right.
at the time. The next one, and this is a plushie that is made on the store.
Two different types.
Flatwoods Monster.
Also known as the Braxton County Monster or Phantom of Flatwoods.
In West Virginia folklore, it's an entity reported to have been sighted in the town of Flatwoods or Braxton County, West Virginia. It was sighted...
The first sighting.
The first sighting was on September 12th, 1952. The appearance of a bright object crossing the night sky. That's when it appeared after that. UFO much?
Well, that's what they say it could be.
Nearly 50 years later, investigators concluded that the light was a meteor and the creature was a barn owl perched in the tree, the shadows making it appear as a large humanoid.
It's always a barn owl.
Right. Absolutely.
They even say the Mothman is a barn owl.
Two brothers, Edward and Fred May, and their friend Tommy Heyer, said that they saw a bright object cross the sky and land on the property of the local farm. The boys went home, where they told their story. I guess this Kathleen May, that was the home they went to, accompanied by three boys and local children, Neil Nunley and Ronnie Shaver, they went to the West Virginia National Guardsmen. Can you imagine that? We've seen this humanoid after a bright light.
Well, this was 52. When was Roswell?
It was around in that time. Eugene Lemon went to the Fisher Farm in an effort to locate whatever the boys said they had seen. The group reached the top of the hill where Nunley said they saw a pulsing red light. Lemon said he aimed the flashlight in that direction and momentarily saw a tall, man-like figure with a round, red face surrounded by pointed hood-like shape.
The shape almost looks like, the head shape almost looks like a diamond.
It sounds like a UFO. It sounds like an alien. Descriptions varied. In an article for Fate magazine, based on a tape-recorded interview, UFO writer Gary Barker described the figure as approximately 10 feet tall, round blood-red face, a large pointed hood-like shape around the face, eyes, eye-like shapes which emit a greenish-orange light, and a dark black or green body. Kathleen May described the figure as having small claw-like hands, clothing-like folds, and a head that resembled the Ace of Spades.
That's what it was. I thought it was a diamond.
According to the story, when the figure made a hissing sound and glided towards the group, Lemon screamed and dropped his flashlight, causing the group to run away.
Well, who wouldn't scream?
They did report having a pungent mist-type smell. Some later said that they were nauseated from the smell. The local sheriff and a deputy had been investigating the reports of a crashed aircraft in the area. They searched the site of the reported monster, saw, heard, and smelled nothing. According to Barker's account, the next day, Democrat claimed to discover skid marks in the field and an old gummy deposit, which were subsequently attributed to UFO enthusiast groups as evidence of a saucer landing. According to former news editor Hope Byrne, newspaper stories were carried throughout the country. Radio broadcasts were carried on large networks, and hundreds of phone calls were received in part of the country. The National Press Service rated the story as number 11 for the year. A minister from Brooklyn came to question the May family. Pittsburgh paper sent special reporter UFO and 14 writers to... like Gray Barker and Ivan T. Sanderson to investigate.
So they took it serious.
There are some conventional explanations.
Yes, after investigating the case in 2000, Joe Nickel of the Community for Skeptical Inquiry concluded that the bright light in the sky reported by the witnesses on September 12th was most likely a meteor, that the pulsating red light was likely an aircraft navigation/hazard beacon, and that the creature described by witnesses closely resembled an owl. Nickel suggested that witnesses' perceptions were distorted by their heightened state of anxiety. Nickel's conclusions are shared by a number of other investigators, including those of the Air Force.
Anytime it's a UFO, it's a fucking weather balloon, or it's a fucking owl.
Yeah, it's always something. It's always something. It's never actually what it is. Just say what it is.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's hard for me to take these fucking people seriously too, because they always cover shit up,
right?
So who knows? I mean, it probably was something conventional that can be explained, but what's the harm in believing that there's a fucking alien out there?
It's just ridiculous. The night of the September 12th sighting, a meteor had been observed across three states, which were Maryland, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. According to Nickel, three flashing red aircraft beacons were also visible from the area of the sightings, which could account for descriptions of a pulsating red light and red tint on the face of the supposed monster. Nickel concluded that the shape, movement, and sounds reported by witnesses were also consistent with the silhouette, flight pattern, and call of a startled barn owl perched on a tree limb, leading researchers to conclude that foliage beneath the owl may have created the illusion of the lower portions of the creature described as being a pleated green skirt. Researchers also concluded that the witness's inability to agree on whether the creature had arms, combined with Kathleen May's report of it having small claw-like hands which extended in front of it, also matched the description of a barn owl with its talons gripping a tree branch.
It makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, you're right.
According to skeptic Ryan Hoput, even though local boy Max Lockard admitted he'd driven around the site hoping to see something in his Chevy truck, paranormal investigators concluded that the tracks, oily residue, and bits of rubbery substance must have been left by the creature and not the truck. He also explains nausea reported by some of the witnesses as symptoms consistent with hysteria and over-exertion. Yes.
So, local officials have erected a Welcome to Flatwoods, Home of the Green Monster sign on the route leading into the town.
They also have a Flatwoods Monster chair, which welcomes visitors near the town hall.
Yes, and, well, there's actually, they've built a series of 5 tall chairs in the shape of the monster to serve as landmarks for the visitor attraction. It also houses a museum dedicated to the monster and legends that offer promotional merchandise. The Bureau rewards visitors who photograph all 5 chairs with free Braxy stickers as part of their ongoing promotion. The monster legend is celebrated every year in the town of Flatwoods, and it holds a festival called the Flatwoods Days, a 3-day festival. Live music, food, and craft vendors. I bet that would be so fun.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Popular culture, the monster appears in various video games, such as The Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask, Space Harrier 2, Strikers 1945, Fallout 76, which I'm not even going to get into the abomination that is Fallout 76, and an Easter egg in Everybody's Golf 4, and the second episode of the 2019 History Channel television series Project Blue Book. And it's titled The Flatwoods Monster, and it's based on the incident we just talked about.
So, what's your thoughts on it?
I believe in everything. I don't think it was an owl. I think that's just ridiculousness to think that it was an owl.
Are there any current sightings? That's the thing.
I don't know.
That to me would, are we having current sightings of this thing?
I don't know. I didn't see anything about current sightings.
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, you don't, the Tommyknockers, there's no current in Salem, West Virginia, there's no current sightings or hearings of Tommyknockers. You do hear stuff in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And again, you don't really have a whole lot of coal miners anymore either.
True. There's a book out there called The Braxton County Monster, The Cover-Up of the Flatwoods Monster Revealed. You can get that on Amazon. And I think that kind of goes over what we were alluding to, that this probably was a UFO and it was covered up.
Yeah, like they all are.
I think that's, to me, I can believe the owl thing. I can believe, the lights described by something else, but you had independent people saying that they saw this, and they all describe it the same way. So is it group hysteria?
Well, it could be. And then there's the different stuff.
I mean, the biggest way to discredit somebody is to make them look ridiculous. So
right.
That's probably what is going on. That probably is the cover-up. Oh, you guys are crazy. It's a barn owl. Well, I don't know how you mistake a barn owl with what you just described. And why am I already in a... Why would I be hysterical? Because a light went across the sky?
Right.
I'm just going to check it out. Like, what the hell was that?
And they would
If they were so hysterical, why would they go check it out?
Right. And they would be familiar with what a barn owl looks like.
Yeah. I mean, they're from that area. You would kind of know what the local wildlife is, mm-hmm. and how to identify it.
Right.
I think that it probably was a UFO and it was a cover-up. I mean, we don't know what aliens look like. Shit, they could look like this. That could have just been a suit that they were wearing.
Exactly.
We have no idea.
Or it could have been a robot.
Sure. Could have been a prank, for all we know.
That'd be an awful elaborate prank.
It would be, but...
Maybe the aliens sent down a robot to test and see if they could come down.
I think it was real. I don't think it was a monster, but I think it was real.
Yeah.
I think they saw something. So, now moving on to the Mothman. I'm going to give you the floor. Because the Mothman is what started your business.
But yeah.
It's also something that's near and dear to you.
Yeah, because I'm from the area that Mothman was at.
I will tell you, we were disturbed this year because we wanted to go to the Mothman Festival. However, due to the COVID-19 fake-demic, we couldn't go.
Yeah, so, my mom all told me that they canceled it.
Yeah, we really wanted to go, but we have been to the museum.
Yeah, we went to the museum last summer or
and
the summer before
stuff,
that.
And we went to There was a shop that sold all kinds of merchandise of Mothman. We bought that. We got pictures with the statue. Mm-hmm. Really kind of bought in. I think we even drove up near the TNT area, which we're going to cover that separately.
I've taken you close to the TNT area. I will say that, like, our fairgrounds are there at the TNT area. Like, there used to be a building. Like, I think it was an old power plant that used to stand right... Well, it wasn't right beside the stage. Because, you know, a lot of fairs have stages where they have, like... Bands. Well, the one here doesn't do that. Like, where we're at now doesn't do that. But our fair had bands. It was always country that would come in every night. We even had... Do you remember MTV's The Real World?
Yeah.
One of the first couple of seasons, they had the one country singer guy on there. I can't remember what his name was. But the fair actually got him to come and perform one night. But there was a building there that they always called Mothman's House. They said he stayed in there. But I've never seen the igloos. I haven't been that far back.
Right. So one of my lifelong goals is to go and investigate this area at night. I want to see what it holds and if I can find anything. Because I am a believer in the Mothman. I believe that he's real.
He is.
He is interdimensional.
That I kind of believe in that, yeah.
And I believe that he's not there to harm, or it's not there to harm, because it could be asexual.
Right, we know that.
It's there to warn. I do believe that, just from even some of the local sightings of the Mothman. So, I'll let you go.
Okay.
And you describe.
Well, like we've said, he's in West Virginia folklore. He's called the Mothman. He was reportedly seen in the Point Pleasant area from November 15th, 1966 to December 15th, 1967. The first newspaper report was published in the Point Pleasant Register dated November 16th, 1966, titled Couple C, Bird-Sized Man, or Man-Sized Bird Creature Something. The national press soon picked up the reports and helped spread the story across the United States. Now, if you remember when we were in the museum, I know, he's a maniac. If you hear chewing noises, it's our cat Hades. He's chewing on our water bottles, and now he's trying to chew on my fingers. If you remember in the Mothman Museum, they actually had the handwritten statements by the couples that saw... I can't concentrate with him chewing on the water bottle. He looks like a snake trying to swallow it. They have the handwritten notes in cases.
The accounts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They actually have statues of the Men in Black because they were...
they were there. Mm-hmm.
That's in legal documents that the Men in Black were there.
Right. The Mothman was introduced to a wider audience by Gray Baker in 1970 and was later popularized by John Keel in his 1975 book, The Mothman Prophecies, claiming that there was supernatural events related to the sightings and a connection to the collapse of the Silver Bridge.
Which, there were accounts of sightings of him there.
Yeah.
Before it collapsed. And I think even one said that he was on the bridge.
Right. And I actually, when I was in high school, our librarian at the time that this happened was a little girl. And she was with her family waiting to cross the bridge that night. They were on the road leading up to the bridge. And they actually saw it fall. She was there. She remembers all of it.
And actually, that river, that section of river, is supposed to be haunted. You could, by still hearing, you know...
Yeah, it is.
People crying out for help.
Because there's a lot of cars and stuff that are still down there. A lot of bodies weren't recovered. And the cars are still at the bottom of the river because they wouldn't go down there because there's catfish that are literally as big as the cars.
And I know we've seen some documentaries, too, and where, you know, people have went and did some... So-called ghost hunting or whatever, but they caught interesting EVPs, electric voice phenomena, that really, it does sound like people underwater calling for help. Mm-hmm. It's pretty scary if it's real, and I truly do believe it's real, just because I think all the energy that was expelled there can't be destroyed, so it has to go somewhere.
Well, I mean, the bridge
and
really
water is
collapse.
A natural conductor,
right?
And I think it is trapped there. The thing is, though, with the Mothman, there was so many people, and they didn't need to say it, so I don't understand why they think they would make it up.
Right, so many people saw him at the bridge.
That he was there.
Yeah.
And the main theme wasn't that he collapsed the bridge. The main theme was he was trying to scare people off.
Off and away from it because he knew it was getting ready to happen. And, you know, there's
been
sightings. They said that there was sightings of him at Chernobyl before the Chernobyl exploded. There were sightings of him around the Twin Towers before 9/11.
And there are some interesting pictures if they're not doctored. I mean,
right.
There's some very interesting videos if they're not doctored.
And, I mean...
But he's seen in other states,
been seen in other countries.
And maybe it's not just him. Maybe it's a race.
Right,
of,
that comes and tries to warn people.
And maybe they have this knowledge because they are from another dimension. They can see what is going to happen. And
right.
That's when they show up. I believe even like Bigfoot is an interdimensional.
Well, that explains why you never find him dead.
Right, why you don't find evidence of the Mothman. I don't think anybody's found evidence that this thing exists. But I do believe in it.
I do
believe that it is something.
Right. And then, I mean, people that were on that bridge when it collapsed, it was in December, so you know the water's got to be freezing.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have died of hypothermia.
Eventually, yeah.
And there's reports of Christmas presents, because it happened around Christmas time. There's reports of Christmas presents floating down the river.
It's
horrible. And then, when our librarian would talk about it, you could see that even years later, she was still devastated by what she saw. You know, she wouldn't go into, like, detail, but she would say she was there and she saw it.
Oh, why would she want to go into detail?
That's a horrible thing to do. And like we stated, the first sighting was in 1966. The witnesses and media used the name Mothman in variations aside many other explanations. Most of them suggested an avian appearance like man-sized bird, birdman, bird-like creature, or bird monster.
They even went as far as to call him, to describe him as Batman, but they really couldn't because...
Batman was...
Right.
Yeah. but Mothman prevailed in later publications as the only term used. This is sometimes explained by the role model effect of comic hero Batman, like you just said, and his criminal counterpart, Killer Moth.
So, if I can, let me get this right. On November 15th, 1966, and I remember talking to your grandparents, specifically your grandfather, who...
Yeah, my papa told you the story about
it. Who has passed away now.
Yeah.
And to know this man, folks, I don't think he's not a bullshit person.
Oh, no.
He's very much just to the point, tell you what he thinks.
He'll tell you what you think, regardless of hurt your feelings. I don't know that the man ever told a lie.
No, but I asked him, and I thought...
If anybody's going to tell you the truth and what they think, it's going to be him.
Right. Hey, is the Mothman real? He deadpan looked at me, no change in his face, so he wasn't joking. He said... It is real.
He said something happened.
Something happened that they can't explain, and I think it's real.
Yep.
So on November 15th, and he told me this story, 1966, there was two young couples, and I think he said he even may have known them or something to that effect.
You've been to the area.
Yeah, I mean,
so
everybody knows everybody.
Everybody knows everybody because it's not that big. I mean, they literally roll the sidewalks up at dark. There's nothing to do.
Yeah, I mean, Point Pleasant is very small.
And I didn't actually grow up in Point Pleasant, but I was close enough to it that where you knew...
Very close.
Yeah,
very close.
You grew up there knowing the story of Mothman.
Right. So Roger and Linda Scarberry and Steve and Mary Malliette told police that they saw a large gray creature whose eyes glowed red when the car's headlights picked it up. They described it as a large flying man with 10-foot wings following their car while they're driving... in an outside area of town known as the TNT area, the site of the former World War II munitions plant.
Now, that could very well have been the building that was there.
Now, it was rumored that there was still active ammunition, things that, you know, could explode, bombs. Maybe he was trying to ward them off from going back in that area. Maybe that's what he was trying to do.
Now, the igloos are still out there, but there's nothing inside the igloos anymore. But you can still go out. Like I said, I've never been out that far. I couldn't tell you where they're at, but I know they're still out there.
During the next few days, other people reported similar sightings. Two volunteer firemen who saw it said it was a large bird with red eyes. Mason County Sheriff George Johnson commented that he believed the sightings were due to an unusually large heron he termed as a shite poke.
That's a very large bird that's native to that area. And you can look up a picture of the bird. There, you've seen the cranes around here. It's about that size.
Well, a contractor, Newell Partridge, told Johnson that when he aimed a flashlight at the creature in a nearby field, its eyes glowed like bicycle reflectors, and blamed buzzing noises from his television set on the disturbance of his German Shepherd dog on the creature. The West Virginia University told reporters the descriptions of the sightings all fit the Sandhill Crane, a large American crane almost as high as a man, 7 foot wingspan, featuring circles of reddish coloring eyes, and that the bird may have wandered out of its migration route. This particular crane was unrecognized at first because it was not native to this region. After the December 15, 1967 collapse of the Silver Bridge and the death of 46 people, the incidents gave rise to the legend and connected the Mothman to the bridge collapse. There was also a movie, The Mothman Prophecies, Don't Waste Your Time.
Which we won't even talk about because it's an abomination.
In 2016, WCHS-TV published a photo purported to be of Mothman taken by an anonymous man while driving on Route 2. Science writer Sharon Hill proposed the photo showed a bird, perhaps an owl carrying a frog or a snake, and wrote, "This is zero reason to suspect it is the Mothman as described in legend. There are too many far reasonable explanations."
Here's the thing. You either believe in Mothman or you don't. But I don't think it was a crane.
No, I don't think it was a bird or a crane. I think that'd be easily identifiable.
And sightings of him are still going on.
But I will say, it would be scary as fuck to have a big bird like that, if it was a native bird, following your car. Why would it follow your car?
Yeah,
why would it fly over top? Cranes don't normally do stuff like that.
So, it's very scary.
Yeah.
From experience, I can tell you it's very scary.
And TNT does have some other supernatural shit going on in that area. So.
And again, I can say from experience, yes, it does.
It's even been, widely speculated that there's devil worship cults out there. And all kinds of just weird Appalachian type, cryptid and supernatural stuff. So who's to say? But the biggest thing to me is you've got kids, teenagers, who are from that area that know what these birds look like. And I know they said the crane wasn't native. They didn't know it was native to that area.
That crane wasn't,
But it still doesn't explain the bird's behavior.
Yeah, it's not going to follow you.
Why is it going to follow a car? Yeah. And is it really flying that fast that it's following a car?
Yeah. Come on. Folklorist Harold
Brunavand
notes that Mothman has been widely covered in the popular press, some claiming sightings connected with UFOs and others claiming that a military storage site was Mothman's home, which I've stated.
Yeah.
They also note that recountings of the 1966 through 67 Mothman reports usually state that at least 100 people saw Mothman, with many more afraid to report their sightings. But observe that written sources for such stories consisted of children's books or sensationalized or undocumented accounts that fell to, quote, identifiable persons. Now, here's the thing, too, because you can look up, because the Scarberries actually have done interviews that you can watch. And she tells you that they didn't want to go to the Mason County Sheriff's Department to report this because they didn't want people thinking they were crazy. But then once they did, other people came forward, because like the German Shepherd, the guy lost his German Shepherd. And that happened 2 to 3 counties away. But he saw the same thing. So how is somebody 2 to 3 counties away seeing the same thing hours, if not a day before the Scarberry saw him?
Well, and they, you know, Brunevard also found elements and that were common among many of the Mothman reports, and much older folk tales. So that suggests that something real may have triggered the scares and became woven within the existing folklore. He also records anecdotal tales of Mothman supposedly attacking the roofs of parked cars occupied by teenagers, which, if you know, teenagers are going parking, you know, they're going what they call necking. You know, they're going to make out, and so maybe it was something to scare them from.
Okay, but here's the thing. I was in a car with a group of people not doing that. We were actually going to join some other kids that were having a party out in the TNT area, but not super far out, and had the same stuff happen. Like stuff hitting the roof of the car. And what made it worse was that the car that we were in was a convertible. So it did not have the hard roof that would be that you typically would hear like something hitting it. And you know, because because I took you a little bit out there, you saw that road was gravel. On a gravel road, which is all we would drive on out there. So we all grew up learning how to drive on gravel roads. You know what that sounds like when it hits a car, mm-hmm. just like you do.
Right.
And it's not going to hit the roof of your car just driving down.
No, and you know, you have to buy stock in that, you know, to real people's accounts. Yes, other things could be causing it, and then you tie it to something that you've been told, and it automatically becomes the truth. Again, the accounts of what these people are saying, I mean, you've got a lot of witnesses saying the same thing, and you really are struggling to find a cause for what they're seeing or experiencing. They seen and experienced something. There was something that really spooked them. Now, could it have been a large bird? I guess. Doesn't seem likely, though. I mean, why is it all of a sudden the bird's aggressive and it's going to chase you and fly? And it's flying as fast as a fucking car is going?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that. I will say that, conversely, Joe Nickel says that the number of hoaxes followed the publicity generated by the original reports, such as a group of construction workers who tied flashlights to helium balloons. Well, those must have been some really lightweight flashlights.
Or a lot of balloons to each flashlight. Right.
Nickel attributes the Mothman stories to sightings of barn owls, suggesting Mothman's glowing eyes were actually red eye effect, caused from the reflection of light from the flashlights or other bright light sources. So all the witnesses, 100 plus.
All of us saw barn owls.
Yeah.
Even to this day, we're seeing barn owls.
Benjamin Radford points out that the only report of glowing red eyes was secondhand, and that of Shirley Hensley quoting her father. So according to the University of Chicago, there has been 55 sightings of Mothman in Chicago during 2017, published on on the website of Self-Described 14 Research. Lon Sticklers are a selective sample. Gallo explains that he's not sampling random people and asking them if they saw a Mothman. He's just counting the number of people that voluntarily came forward to report a sighting. So there's also reports in Ohio of seeing it. There's reports in other countries of seeing this creature. According to Gallo, people were more likely to visit a paranormal-centric website than Strickler's, like Strickler's might also be inclined to believe in, and therefore witness the existence of a Mothman. Some pseudoscience adherents, such as ufologists, paranormal authors, cryptozoologists, claim the Mothman was an alien, a supernatural manifestation, or previously known species of animal. I think, to be honest, it's an interdimensional being, which could be alien, I guess, jumping dimensions or whatever, because I do believe that we live in a multiverse.
Well, whatever it was, it did in fact bring out the Men in Black, because there's multiple people.
Well,
and
here's the thing, the author of the Mothman Prophecies, John Keel, claimed that Point Pleasant residents experienced precognitions, including premonitions of the collapse of the Silver Bridge, UFO sightings, visits from inhuman or threatening men in black, and other phenomena.
Because in the museum, they, like you said, they have like mannequins and the men in black suits, and there's written reports, eyewitness reports of seeing the men in black, them coming in, and I think even during the interview, Scarberry said that they came and talked to her. And of course, like with every men in black sighting, they're telling you, you did not see what you saw.
Mm-hmm.
This did not happen.
So are the men in black not real?
Well, they'll say no.
Well, what I'm saying is, it's documented and on videotape where these people, these men in black...
Show up today. Yeah.
They're not human.
Well, no, because they have no facial hair, they have no eyebrows.
They're not human.
Their eyes are very pale.
So, if they're not human, and that's... I mean, so, if they're not real, then, I mean, I guess who's showing up? You know, who's showing up to... I mean, I guess I don't understand why we can't just be honest about it. Yeah, it was an interdimensional being. Wasn't meant to be here, but it was. Or they do come, and this is what they do when they're here. They're not here to hurt.
Well, yeah, there's never been an instance of a report that Mothman has tried to hurt anybody.
You know, transparency kills conspiracy.
Yeah, I mean...
Just be honest about it.
Yeah, you trying to shut it up is what's going to make people talk about it more. I mean, it just... It's horrible how they try to shut it up. But I wholeheartedly believe he's real. It did happen. You can't not say the Silver Bridge collapsed.
Five men were in a cemetery preparing a grave for a burial when they saw something they couldn't explain. Lifting off from the nearby trees, it was a brown-winged creature. The men held to the fact that what lifted off beyond the trees was no bird. It was a humanoid.
And this was supposed to have happened around the same time that the Scarberry saw it.
Exactly.
This is all in the same time frame.
The creature was sighted in many places across West Virginia and surrounding states, but the largest number of sightings happened near the old West Virginia Ordnance Works, an area known as TNT.
Mm-hmm.
The Ordnance Works is an abandoned munitions plant in the, not plant, but storage in the north of Point Pleasant. West Virginia, that dates back to the World War II. The facility, during its operation, manufactured ammunition and dynamite.
Which is why it's called TNT.
The surrounding area is mostly forest, dotted with numerous grassy clearings and thick concrete domes called igloos.
And, if I'm not mistaken, that entire area is a nature preserve also.
Well, so the igloos that were used to store barrels of gunpowder, the area is also riddled with abandoned tunnels.
Yep.
Most of which have collapsed, been sealed off, or become flooded with water. In 1979, fishermen in the TNT area reported that chemicals had been left to seep into the ponds, causing it to be labeled an environmental disaster. By the year 1983, the TNT area was among the country's most polluted sites. It was here in the TNT area on the cold night of November 5th, 1966, three days after the first sightings took place, that the two young couples would encounter this bizarre creature.
Mm-hmm.
So are they trying to say that this was something that had evolved from the pollution? I don't know. I don't think so.
That's one story.
I think that it was...
kind of like your fish in The Simpsons?
No, I think it was something trying to ward them away from the area because it was dangerous.
Yeah.
If you see where this creature has shown up, it's always been at a time of disaster.
Right. Or right before disaster strikes. Away. Right.
And I guess in some way you could say maybe they're responsible for it. But they've never attacked anybody. Not attacked in the way that they... I mean, if it could chase your car, it could sure as fuck get inside your car and get you.
Oh, yeah.
It's strong enough to do that.
Yeah. It could pick your car up and take you with it.
I don't know. It does say here that the teenager said that it was 7 foot tall. It had wings folded against its back. When they took off, the true horror began because the creature spread its wings and pursued them down Highway 62. So it is following them.
Mm-hmm.
The city limits, the speeds went over 100 miles an hour. And this thing is following.
Yeah, so that's why they're going that fast.
This bird,
mm-hmm.
bird that they say it's a crane, is following.
At 100 miles an hour.
At 100 miles an hour. I guess it could have been hysteria, but why make that up? There's no reason to make that up.
And again, why would you go to the Mason County Sheriff's Department and say, look, we just saw this, this just happened, if you're making it up? Because you're gonna get made fun of. You're gonna be ridiculed.
And it said that they eventually got away from it. The four arrived in town, startled and confused, with no sign of the mysterious bird that had chased them.
Because Roger, it got him out of the area.
Right. Roger parked his car. They never said it was Mothman or anything like that. They said it was a big bird with red eyes.
This was before Mothman got called Mothman.
Roger parked his car on the edge of town. They discussed what happened during this encounter. Eventually, they decided that what they saw was nothing more than an aberrant bird. And in an attempt to face their fears, they drove again towards the TNT area.
And it showed up again.
It wasn't long before they saw the creature again, apparently waiting on them beside Route 62. I don't think it was waiting on them. I think it was waiting on anybody to go
in there.
Right. The couples now realize that their stalker was no bird, but in the instant the car's headlights landed on the creature, it lifted vertically into the air with tremendous speed and disappeared above the tree line. This time, when they arrived into town, they went to the Mason County Courthouse, told their story to the sheriff. 2 hours later, the city police began investigating the area, only to return empty-handed. The next day, a press conference was held. The local press began printing the story, causing others to come forward with previous and future sightings. This was the major event that started it all. The strange encounter would be brought to the public eye with headlines saying, couple sees man-sized bird, blah, blah, blah. The strange encounter at the TNT area was a harrowing experience for everyone involved. And on the morning of November 16th, 1966, Linda Scarberry was rushed to the hospital by her father after experiencing a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, because it can do that to you. The area itself, like, we'll talk about TNT on another podcast, but the area itself has so much that happens out there that it can seriously mess with you. Because you know how old I am now. And this happened when I was in high school. And still to talk about it, look, I mean, it sticks with you. And it just, there is something out there. There's stuff that happens.
You know, there has been continued sightings. The creature would be seen throughout the next 13 months in Point Pleasant. And it was estimated that there was over 100 sightings within this time. Though these were unidentifiable reports, and the actual number of reported sightings may be quite lower. Mothman witnesses are also harassed by the men in black, who want them to not speak about the creature. The strange sightings also seem to culminate in the collapse of the Silver Bridge. When that happened, many similar cryptids and creatures have been seen worldwide. The sightings are similar to the Mothman in many ways, including the fact that most of them seem to be heralds of impending disasters. Some of the places Mothman or its fellows have visited include the mine in Freiburg, Germany, where a Mothman-like creature scared them away shortly before it collapsed. Another notable visit was at the nuclear plant in Chernobyl, when the creature haunted the facilities for a while before a famous nuclear meltdown. There was also two Mothman pictures taken in New York on 9/11 for multiple sightings before the plane hit him. Yep. And then some believe the Mothman tries to warn people about disasters to happen, such as the Freiburg and Chernobyl sightings listed above. However, since there only seems to be one Mothman instead of a bunch of his kind, and since his seems to be rather paranormal, these sightings are not much interest to cryptozoologists who want to discover a new kind of creature. Mothman is described as bipedal, winged, and humanoid. Despite his name that was given to him by the newspapers, he is in no way moth-like. He has more of an owl appearance.
Yeah, he's more bird-like.
Yeah. His coloration varies from black, gray, to even brown. I think that there's more, and I think this is a race of humanoids.
Yeah, because they all look different.
He's often reported to be 7 foot tall with a wingspan of 10 to 15 feet or more. Can fly over 100 miles an hour. Sometimes described as not having a head, but just two red eyes that sit on his chest.
Or it's like he has a head but no neck, so that's why it looks like it's on his chest.
Only one witness who saw the face clearly could say the details were horrible and monstrous. She had terrible nightmares. I guess that's one of his gifts, too, is he can give you nightmares. Anyone who gets close to the Mothman seems to suffer from extreme fear or psychological distress, sometimes lasting for months to years. Particular people say that the sense of pure evil overcomes them when they see the Mothman's eyes. He can fold his wings and walk with a weird shuffle that many witnesses compare to a penguin. No wonder he fucking flies everywhere. when he flies, he unfolds his wings and shoots straight up with great speed, then levels out and goes where he wants, often compared to how a helicopter would take off. One of his favorite activities is chasing cars. He likes to fly in front of them and sometimes hit the roof. There has been hoaxes. There has yet to be any credible physical or photographic evidence to truly support the existence of Mothman, but there are a few photos that have been mistaken for Mothman, such as a photo of a bridge taken in 2003, which turned out to be just a piece of metal falling off of the bridge. There's also been some photoshopped images, mostly done for art purposes.
You can usually tell the photoshopped ones.
Yeah. Mothman sightings have been associated with at least two other cryptids. One of my favorite is the gigantic thunderbird. They have gray bodies, red heads. They were sighted in the same area at the same time by a few witnesses, and also Owlman, which is identical creature with wings and red eyes, sighted in Cornwall, England.
Owlman I haven't heard of, but the Thunderbird I have.
What they're trying to say is Owlman and a Thunderbird are
Mothman.
Yeah. Sheriff George Johnson, who the original witnesses contacted, believes Mothman may have been a large heroine, which we talked about that here on. But the witnesses completely disagreed.
Yeah, because they know what those birds look like, because they are native to the area.
Joe Nickel, he's a skeptic. He poisoned owls as an explanation.
Joe Nickel poo-poos on all kinds of stuff.
Right. I don't know. Two legends from the Shawnee lore. Shawnee were a group of Native Americans.
Which are native to that area.
And they're also native to Ohio. Actually, Chillicothe, Ohio. The most famous of them being Tecumseh.
There's actually a Native American monument down there that I've yet to take you to, because I keep forgetting every time we're down there.
Well, and the Shawnee were actually a spiritual group of Native Americans.
Right.
And their most popular leader, Tecumseh, wanted to bring all the Native American tribes together.
And he almost did, too. That's why they killed him.
He almost did, yes. But two legends from the Shawnee lore mention creatures resembling Mothman deemed Missinagua or Anwapi. The legend of Missinagua fits the description of the Mothman, and is also similar to Bigfoot, and they actually have ceremonial dress for these two cryptids. Like they actually, their ceremonial dresses look like the Mothman, or like a Bigfoot with wings. That's kind of what they're describing. And they actually do a dance, a ceremonial dance, to honor.
So they see him as good, meaning that
yes,
he's coming to tell you something bad is getting ready to happen.
The Wapi legend is also similar in that part of the Shawnee lore, the family of Native Americans choose to become white hawks living in the forest near Point Pleasant. Some believe the Mothman may be an angel, a demon, a product of the blood curse placed upon the town by Chief Cornstalk.
That is what the monument's about, I think, because I remember hearing about Chief Cornstalk. For the life of me, I cannot remember what it's called.
He was murdered along with his son in the area.
Yeah.
Similarly, the curse theory is one very attached to the collapse of the Silver Bridge as well. The more likely assumptions, however, like a normal barn owl, have been proposed, such as the fact of the original sighting. What they seem to describe is more in line with the illusion, with an illusion during driving or other sightings, could be misidentification and calls for attention. A speculative, Agnathorid pedosaur has also been a claim by certain people.
They're saying it's a dinosaur?
However, it remains normal fun and speculative zoology. So
a dinosaur survived in West Virginia, and that's what they're saying it is?
Yeah, it's the only time they saw it. Yeah. They do have the Mothman Festival.
Which started in 2002.
Correct. And it is, to be quite honest, it is to make money, and it does help the town.
You've been to the town. You've seen what it looks like.
But I will say that maybe they're just trying to make something good out of
Trying to get tourism into their area. And they maybe are.
They're just like anybody else.
They are capitalizing on the Mothman thing, but that's no different than Circleville having a pumpkin show.
And capitalizing on pumpkins.
Or the Flatwoods festivals.
Right. I don't see anything wrong with it. And I know that a lot of skeptics point to that. But that wasn't... So you're telling me from the beginning that was the intent?
Then why wait until 2002 to have the first one?
Right. I just...
This happened back in 66.
Mothman's been featured in games, books, documentaries, featured in a lot of TV shows, has a movie.
Stupid poopy Mothman prophecies, which... By the way,
I wish they'd do a real Mothman movie, to be honest.
Here's the thing. I remember this. When the Mothman prophecies, when they first started talking about doing it, there was an article in the newspaper. They were actually calling for extras because they were going to legitimately shoot this in Point Pleasant. That they were actually going to film it in Point Pleasant, and they wanted locals to be like the background characters that you see. And they ended up shooting it God knows where.
It's an awful movie.
Point Pleasant looks nothing like what they have in that movie.
Yeah, it's awful.
And I hate the movie because I'm from the area. I know what it's supposed to look like. And they just made everybody look like stupid hicks.
It's awful. It's awful. It's a terrible movie. I think that, again, I believe Mothman is real, and I equate it to the crop circle phenomenon. Yeah, you're going to have hoaxes, but they're going to be clear
that they're hoaxes. You're going to be able to see that if they're hoaxes.
But the real thing, like a crop circle, you're going to know when
you see
it. You're
going to know when you see it.
Because it's not going to be something that's easily done or explained.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a crop circle is something that we'll touch on too at some point, but the Mothman's the same thing. I mean, is there a clear photograph of it? I think if it was an intelligent being, it's kind of like Bigfoot, right? Mm-hmm. You get some doctored ones, but you also get some, you're like, damn, that might be something. Could be something, but I can't get a clear shot of it. Well, there's a reason why.
Right.
If they truly are higher intelligence.
I think your explanation of what you think it is as an intradimensional being is probably correct. I mean, I think it's a cryptid in that it's not normal, but I don't think it's a cryptid as an animal.
It's not been native to us.
Right.
Here.
Right.
I do believe that there are places where you can cross into those dimensions. I mean, and we'll get into it. I don't want to get too far into it, but, you know, look at what CERN is doing. Who knows? Who knows? This was after the Roswell thing that people started seeing this, you know, and really having accounts. Now, I know that Native Americans
were seeing it way before that.
Right. But who's to say that they didn't know how to summon this thing or call on this creature or whatever?
Or the creature allowed them to.
And it's been coming here for, you know, since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say? We don't know that. I think there's definitely something there. I mean... I don't know. It's as believable to me as...
Wasn't it even seen before one of the launches of a space thing before it blew up? Wasn't he seen before that blew up?
I don't know. I think I know what you're talking about, but I didn't see that in the listings when I researched. I think that it's as believable as anything else. But for the fact that we are lied to... almost on a daily basis from the people that we put into office and our politicians and our militaries, and they say it's for our own good, or they'll claim it's for our own good, but for the fact that they lie to us all the time, I don't believe anything they say, and if they say it's not real, I say it is. If they tell me that...
There's too much evidence of UFOs for them not to be real.
They say the Men in Black ain't real.
There's videotape of them walking in places. There's pictures of them. There are too many people that have said, especially, okay, now, and again, you've been where we're talking about. You have seen, and I hate to say it because I'm from the area, some of the people there are not super educated. I mean, they're just not. And in the time that this happened, a lot of them had dropped out of school to help take care of their families or because they had kids.
But they're good people.
They are good people.
And they're honest people.
They are. They're not going to lie to you. They're some of the best people you'll meet.
So what is the motivation for them to make up a story like this?
And how would they have even known about the Men in Black if they hadn't shown up?
Not only that, a lot of these people, you know, from their accounts and from me just talking to your grandpa, they're not easy to scare people. So,
or easy to fool.
Or easy to fool. Because this, I mean, if you think about it, knowing the animals
that are there,
it's probably part of their daily life. Mm-hmm. Knowing the dangers, knowing what animals exist, knowing how to keep their livestock safe,
how to
keep their crops safe. They have to know these because if you got big birds, they're going to feed on something.
Yeah.
So they would know what these birds look like. They would
know. And if there was an owl that damn big, they'd have killed it.
Right. Because that's going to be a menace.
I mean, it's going to carry off small children.
So the other thing is nobody's concerned that this bird thing, we'll just leave it at that. Nobody's concerned that this bird thing followed this car that was going 100 miles an hour.
And not just that car. It's followed numerous cars.
But nobody's concerned.
Right.
And since when has an owl been 7 foot tall?
Well, the wingspan, they're not saying that it was 7 foot tall. They're saying that they mistook the wingspan of Mothman for a barn owl. Because a barn owl's wingspan can get to 7 feet in length. But the wingspan of the Mothman was 10 to 15 feet in length.
One of the accounts said he was 7 foot tall. Had to be 7 foot tall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But
there ain't a bird out there that fucking big.
You come in and you say, well, they saw him because they saw when they went back, they saw him standing there. Well, they're going to say that was a barn owl on a tree limb, just like he said for the Flatwoods Monster.
Oh, in the Battle of L.A., it was just a weather balloon.
Didn't happen.
That they were shooting at. It did happen. It was a weather balloon they were shooting at. There's pictures of a fucking cylindrical object that's obviously
with a lot of lights on it, and you can see.
And it's a weather balloon that they were shooting. Why are you
it's
shooting
always
at
a weather balloon.
You couldn't tell it was a weather balloon before you started shooting at it. We should cover that.
Yeah, but my question is, if you want people to stop believing in UFOs, come up with better stories. It can't always be a fracking weather balloon
or a barn owl or. It was
Alaska barn owls.
Oh yeah. But interesting enough, and we'll cover the Anunnaki. They were actually described as being bird-like. And they were aliens. So, I mean, maybe there's something to that bird-like appearance. And maybe the Mothman is part of the Anunnaki. Maybe it's from
that. It could very well be.
Yeah, maybe it's from that.
But it's not an owl.
Race, I guess, is what you would call it.
It's not a crane, and it's not a heron.
If it is, it's pretty fast, it's pretty big, and it's pretty smart.
Because I do
and
not
that
know.
That is a threat.
Okay, can you, off the top of your head, or even look up a bird that can fly that fast?
I mean, I'm sure there has to be a bird that can fly. I'm sure.
But it's not going to be native to West Virginia or go anywhere near West Virginia.
But I'm more frightened by the intelligence of the thing.
Mm-hmm. That it's waiting for you there to keep you from going back into that area.
Why would it just be protecting that area? If it is a bird, wouldn't you find evidence of the bird being in that area?
And they found evidence of nothing.
It would have to have a nest, right?
Yep.
It has to sleep somewhere. It would have to have droppings, right? I mean, I have to imagine it's got human-type turds if it's that big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got to be. There's got to be some evidence that there was
That's
a bird
why
that
people
big.
Still believe in Bigfoot, because there is evidence of the Bigfoot. Like, you got the footprints. You've got the nests that it makes. You've got the trees that
it
messes
droppings.
With.
you know, and
hair
and the carcasses. Just
well, you don't. You can never find a big.
Not the carcasses of them, but
the thing that they eat.
Right.
So there is stuff that they leave behind, but Mothman leaves nothing. And if it's an owl, there's going to be evidence. There's going to be scratches in the tree that it was sitting on, because owls have the really long talons. So when it takes off or when it lands, there's going to be marks on the trees. There's going to be feathers. If it takes off, as if a barn owl or any kind of bird takes off as fast as they say this did, to just go to flight, there's going to be feathers that fall out.
I mean, anybody can listen to our past podcasts. I come with a healthy dose of skepticism. I'm very skeptical about things. And I come at things as more of a, can you explain it? Can you not explain it? And mm-hmm. I really try to find explanations for things. But
you went to the Mothman Museum wanting to be convinced that
it wasn't real. I was wanting to make fun of it. I was wanting to be like, this isn't real. But I came away with, there's something going on. I mean, why all the interest from, like, the federal agents and stuff? Why? And Point Pleasant. Why, if it was just a simple bird, why not just let the locals handle it?
And you've seen the area. So why?
Why all the visits from the important people?
Because it's a very small area. There's nothing to be gained from the area.
I mean, there is accounts of unmarked black vehicles and,
yeah,
you know, people with no identification.
And there's so much evidence of him that they've actually had to expand the museum. Like, it's bigger now than what it was when we went.
And what they do, and this is terrible, is they say, well, these people in this little area are uneducated, or they're confused.
Yeah.
Or it was mass hysteria, or it was, you know, it's the same thing. If a pilot says he sees a UFO, automatically he's getting a psych eval, and he's probably not going to be a pilot anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If the military guy says that, they better wait till they're retired, because otherwise their career is over.
But they the Point Pleasant area and the Mason County area, they are able to use the, well, they're uneducated, because you've got a lot of laborers. You got coal miners. I mean, that was
the
profession there.
Right, but these people aren't the type of people that are going to be like, oh, I have time to make up a story.
Oh, yeah, because they've got too much to do. They're not, and why would they want to? Because small towns, you make up a story like that, it's going to follow you. People are going to point, they're going to talk, and they're going to know you.
Yeah, so why make yourself a spectacle to everybody else?
Right, why make yourself a target?
The whole idea of a small town is to not stand out.
Exactly.
It's to blend in. You don't want to embarrass your family.
Or yourself, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to embarrass your family, because that's what's going to happen.
I don't know. I believe that it is real. You know, let us know your thoughts. Email us.
At cryptidkillers@yahoo.com. Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. If there's any cryptids that you would like to have us cover, please let us know. But
or
we appreciate,
if you've got some Mothman stories you'd like us to add.
Absolutely. We'll do a part two if we need to.
Of Mothman, yeah.
But yeah, just, you know, we appreciate that you came and listened. And hopefully, even if you don't agree with us, hopefully you learned something from it. And we hope that you come back and see us again.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.